the standing of one of your servant girls. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." Then she sat down with the harvesters, and he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the fields until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz, to glean until the barley and the wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. And this is the word of the Lord.
Everybody, let's pray. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be at work in us throughout this morning's service, and especially now as we listen to your word. Take my words, I pray, Lord, and help them to have meaning for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it just as well that we don't know what the future holds? Or would we like to know what's going to happen next? We read the Old Testament knowing the end of the story, or the story so far. But most of the characters in the Bible didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know that they were part of a bigger picture. Ruth and Naomi didn't know what was going to happen in chapters 3 and 4. They're a bit in the dark, as we are from day to day very often. But it's encouraging to know that we are part of a bigger picture, and that God has a wonderful plan for our world and for each of us as individuals. Well, the story so far in Ruth: Naomi has lost her husband and two sons, and her daughter-in-law Ruth has lost her husband. And they have come back to Bethlehem, where Naomi originated from. But they have no means of support, no man to support them, as they would have needed in those days. I think Naomi's life has been about as tragic as it could get. I can't imagine a worse situation. Although there are many people in her situation across the world today. But God is with her. She knows that. She calls him the Almighty One. And he has provided her with an outstanding daughter-in-law. Not everyone gets on with their daughter-in-law, or daughter out of law, as some of them are. But this Ruth is a very, very good daughter-in-law, because she's promised to stay with Naomi, and she's willing to support her and work to earn money and things to keep her. Well, it's harvest time. But of course, Ruth and Naomi had no harvest of their own to gather. But thankfully, the law did make provision for the people who had no land, and said that the landowners were to leave some sheaves for gleaning, Now, I can remember as a child going gleaning. We lived in Cambridge and went out into the countryside around at harvest time. And after the harvesters had gone through with their machines, we picked up the leftover ears of corn and took them home for Grandad's chickens. But we weren't reliant on what we picked for our survival, as Ruth and Naomi were. She says, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain." This is an everyday story of country folk. Do you follow the Archers? I like the Archers, but I'm not so interested in the farming bits. It's more in, you know, the life and lives of particularly Helen and Rob. It's been very tense, hasn't it? And this story has got its own romance, its own tensions, and behind it all, it is an everyday story of country folk. But it's country folk 1,200 years BC. It's amazing. Harvest 1,200 years BC. And it reflects what life has been like for centuries and is still like for many people across the world, where they're scratching a living from the soil, some of the people, aren't they, today? But among the everyday events, we get a glimpse of the supernatural, of God at work. Because verse 3 says, "As it turned out, Ruth found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech." Elimelech was Naomi's husband who had died. "As it turned out, was not a matter of chance. Rather, it was God working out his plan." It's been said that for people of God, there are no coincidences, just God instances. But the Bible says our times are in his hand. When we're born, when we die, and what happens in between. It's in God's hands. The preacher, R.T. Kendall, says, "God takes responsibility for our lives." It's the Almighty supernaturally intervening in our everyday lives. In Ruth's case, God took responsibility by providing the protection of Boaz. We know that Ruth was at risk when she went out into the field, but Boaz offered her protection so she wouldn't be hassled or molested as she worked in the fields. And he's generous to Ruth. The amount of barley she got was far more than she would normally get from gleaning. She knew he was being generous to her. So she asked Boaz, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes?" His reply is to commend her for all that she's done for Naomi, so that he knows about that. And then Boaz shows us the bigger picture that they are part of. He says to Ruth in verse 12, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She hasn't come to work in the field of a random stranger. She's under the protection of the one that God has planned to take care of her. She has, in fact, come under the shelter of the Lord's wings. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's repeated throughout the Bible. You may know in Psalm 91, we talk about the Lord's wings, coming under the shadow of the Lord's wings. And it conveys so much meaning. To me, it conveys the idea of the Lord's protection and safety and provision. And more than that, I think it conveys a sense of coming home, is where she's meant to be. Ruth has come from another country and another religion to find her place in God, among God's people. So Boaz is showing favor to Ruth, and she goes back to Naomi with loads of grain, and Naomi says, "He," that's the Lord, where are we? Verse 20, "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She saw Boaz's acts of kindness as God himself showing his kindness. That's a great ability, to be able to see the hand of God at work. Boaz was used by God. He was acting in line with God's plan. And the Lord was showing kindness through him. If we know the rest of the story, we know that behind the scenes, God was planning for Ruth to meet Boaz, and that he is her kinsman redeemer, it tells us in this chapter, meaning he has a special responsibility for her. It was God's will for them to meet so that he could fulfill his purpose in their lives and his long-term purpose as well. But we mustn't go into that because that's someone else's story to tell in the next week or so. None of the characters in this story saw the outcome of God's plan in their lifetime. We know that God's plan is for his kingdom to be established through the Lord Jesus. And Ruth and Boaz had a part in the great scheme of things, as we'll find out in later talks. That's all I want to say about that chapter, about the events of that chapter, but just to draw four points from it that might apply to us. I see these things. Firstly, that we too are part of the bigger picture of God's plan for his kingdom. We don't necessarily see it at the time. And it's often without realizing it that our words and our actions can have an effect on people's lives as we contribute to the building of God's kingdom, even unwittingly. Ruth's behavior towards Naomi was seen by Boaz. He commented on it. People notice what we do, and they form opinions about us. You know, I love the story of Jackie Pullinger in Hong Kong, and she tells how the head of the triads, the gangsters in the walled city of Hong Kong, said, "We've watched you, and when you'd been here for years, we thought perhaps you meant what you said." And many of the triads became Christians. And finally, that guy himself, the gangster boss, became a Christian after 14 years of watching her and realizing she meant what she said when she was talking about Jesus. And she put in much prayer for them behind the scenes. Don't give up praying for someone. Answers can be a long time coming. We mustn't be discouraged. God is working his purpose out all the time. Secondly, as we've said, Ruth was at risk in the fields, and women and girls are at risk today. They're in danger when they walk miles to fetch water unaccompanied, and when they're tending animals or working in fields. And we know that in many parts of the world, there are no toilets, and they're at risk when they go out just to find somewhere to go to relieve themselves. They need protection, all these people, and we can be involved in protecting them through agencies like Tear Fund, Compassion, and other agencies. They work to ensure the safety of girls, of women and children. This is how God works. He calls us to be his fellow workers. It says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul talks about us being fellow workers with God. As believers, as Christians, when we do good, it brings glory to God. And we want to live in a way that reflects something of God, don't we, and points the way to him. Jesus said, "Let your light shine so that people will see the good things you do and will glorify God in heaven." Thirdly, we can come under the wings of the Lord. We can come into that place of protection, of peace and safety. Under the wings of the Lord, we are comforted and strengthened. And it's like coming home. Someone said, "It's a warm beckoning that lets you know you will not be rejected." In Old Testament times, this was reserved, privilege was reserved for the Jewish people and a few chosen others, like Ruth, who was from Moab. But since Jesus came to be the saviour of the world, anyone can come, not just Jewish people. It's simply by believing in Jesus and letting him take away our sin. And then we're welcomed into God's presence as his sons and daughters, and we are home. And finally, Naomi could see how the hand of God was at work in their lives. She saw Boaz's acts of kindness as God himself showing his kindness. That's a great gift, to be able to see God's hand at work. For half my life, I didn't see it. The glass was half empty rather than half full. I was a Christian, but I didn't realise that God is alive and active today. I read the Bible, I prayed, but I didn't see him at work. I suspect he was at work, but I just didn't see it. And two things helped me. Someone said, take troubles lightly and take blessings mightily. And there's something in that, because troubles come, they come to all of us. They're part of life, there's no escape. But they're not the whole picture, and we mustn't let them ruin our lives. And there are blessings. Blessings are to be received, to be taken into ourselves, to work in us and to change us, because it's God at work in us. That's why people open their hands sometimes in prayer to receive from God. It's just a sign. I want what you're giving me, Lord. I want you to bless me. His blessings are active. They're his activity in our lives. And the other thing I learned, and it took a long time for this to sink in, was that God is a God of power and love. He's not just looking down on us, wanting us to be good. He's there for us. And eventually it got through to me that God is actively at work today, and we can be aware of his power and his love. Doesn't mean we're immune to troubles. Naomi, even after the tragedy of losing her husband and sons, she could recognize that God was at work in her situation, showing his kindness. And Jesus said, my Father is always at work to this very day. So may the Holy Spirit help us to see where God is at work in us and in the world around us. Lord, we pray. Lord, help us to be aware of your presence, to welcome your power and your love into our lives. We receive the blessings you have for us, Lord. We ask that you would be at work deep within us and use us for your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.